Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
You don't have anything. You can't escape. Take the sack, live to play another down, and move on.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. We're also brought to you by Wine Tasting Driver. Planning a trip to wine country? Do it the safe way and hire a driver from Wine Tasting Driver. We're also brought to you by Kane's Tire in San Rafael, the lowest prices in Marin County for over 60 years. Coming up, we'll talk to Steve about the 49ers' 34-24 loss to the Bills on Monday Night Football. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. It was an awesome PGA Championship at TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, won by Colin Morikawa. We'll always remember the shot he hit on the 16th hole. And now the course is open to the public. And if you're a resident of San Francisco, visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, Steve, the 49ers ran into a really good team, the Buffalo Bills. I mean, they look like a playoff team, and, you know, they're going to go to the playoffs and maybe even win some games. Who knows? They get their first Monday Night Football win since 1999, and it's tough for the Niners because now you've got a really difficult path to try to get to the playoffs, looking like the Niners would have to win basically their last four to have a shot at the playoffs the way it stands now.
I think so, and I think if there was a game that they could lose in these last five, it was last night, because now it's everybody. Well, it's all NFC teams. So, yeah, if there was one that they could lose, it was last night. But it would have been much nicer to have won, obviously, against a good team. And Buffalo played well. Josh Allen played extremely well.
Oh, yeah, he looked great. And, you know, the 49ers just didn't have an answer for him and the receivers that he has, Beasley and Diggs. I mean, they all had a big game.
Big games. He's got some – he has some good receivers, good tight end. And, I mean, he, you know, threw for 75% or whatever, so, and four touchdowns.
Yeah, 80%, 32 of 40, yeah.
Yeah, 80%, exactly. Yeah, so – yeah, they just played better. Buffalo just played better. And because statistically it was pretty close other than turnovers and penalties.
Yeah, those always hurt. But, you know, the thing that doesn't show up in the stat sheet, really, unless you're going deep into stats, is pressures. And the 49ers just got no pressure on Allen.
Yeah.
I mean, he had time to throw and run around. And to me, that was one of the biggest issues. What did you think?
I would completely agree, and boy, he can move around well and sling some balls when he's out on the edge. For someone his size, boy, he moves really well.
He does. And I kind of felt, Steve, you know I like to make baseball analogies. I kind of felt like I was watching Justin Verlander against maybe Barry Zito or somebody because, I mean, Allen's throwing 90-mile-an-hour fastballs, and Mullins doesn't have that kind of an arm.
Although
Barry Zito did beat Verlander in the World Series, so you can win that way. But that's besides the point. It's just not easy for Mullins. He doesn't have that same kind of arm strength.
No, he doesn't. But I thought he played good. I don't know if he's good enough for them to, you know, be the difference maker when they can't run the ball or when they have to throw the ball to win. You know, they showed a bunch of different stats last night. I'm assuming you watched it because you were home.
Yeah.
The most striking one to me was that Kyle is now 0-25, having trailed by 7 or more points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that
that just was staggering to me. I had no idea. The other one was that they were talking about Jimmy G, and he's like 25-8 when he plays, or the team is 25-8, I think it was, when he plays, and they're 5-18 when he's not.
Something
along those lines, but it was pretty, I thought, pretty telling.
Absolutely. I mean, they miss Jimmy G, there's no doubt. They definitely miss him.
Yeah, Nick, I mean, he's they talked about it last night that he's, you know, that Kyle likes having him in there. The teammates like having him in there because he gets them to the right play. He's getting them out of trouble. Maybe that's something that Bethard doesn't do as well. But God, when they have to be in a throwing situation, I would like to have seen Bethard in there slinging it around last night.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's not just the arm strength, Steve. I mean, you know, he was indecisive on some of those throws over the middle. He was inaccurate on others. I mean, he's just inconsistent is basically what I see. How about you?
Yeah, I would agree with that. There's one particular one over the middle that sticks in my head, but it was, in my mind, it was a mistake by Reed, where Kendrick and Reed ended up in the same place, and it was a third down, but I think Reed was supposed to have run a shallow cross to hold underneath coverage, and he would have had Kendrick Moore open. But yeah, he's a little bit indecisive, and again, I can't completely, you know, it's hard to tell on television. Plus, I don't know what their exact reads are. Obviously, you know, is it the system? Is it Nick? I'm not exactly sure. That's hard to tell without obviously being there, being in meetings and you know, hearing what's being preached to them. But you know, I just don't. I get the sense that, you know, if the running game's not going really well, it's going to be hard on him to win the game outright. You know, to win the game, slinging it all over the park.
I agree. Yeah, you can't just throw it on him to win a game. He needs help. He needs the running game to be better than it was. It was okay. They didn't have a lot of big runs. And he can't afford to have what happened with Brandon Ayuk. And Ayuk actually had a really good game, but he dropped that one pass where it got deflected in the air. It becomes an interception. Oh. And the next thing you know, field goal, it's 27-10. The game starts to get out of reach. Those kind of mistakes, Mullins, when he's running the offense, he can't afford it.
I thought that was a key moment. And that's unusual, I think, of Ayuk. He makes that play because I think it was actually a good ball. It was low and away, and I think he intended to put it down there to protect Ayuk, to, you know, kind of make that sliding catch. That's an unfortunate one because I think he makes. I think he makes that 9 out of 10 times. Shit, he might make it 99 out of 100 times. They had the running game going early. They got Mostert involved, I thought. Well, I didn't think they got Debo involved that well until late. And the other guy that I'm really impressed with is Jordan Reed. I mean, this kid can run routes, and he's a natural pass catcher. He was targeted early, made some big plays, and then he was like completely quiet until the end there when he scores the touchdown. And you know, he, they showed the replay, and actually Mullins had him right away, early, before he moved. Didn't, I don't think he was looking that way though. But Reed did a really nice job of staying alive in you know, in the end zone, because he was wide open to start, and, you know, then kind of took the defender, recovered, but then he was able to shake him and get open again. So
yeah, that was a nice play. Yeah. To get the touchdown.
Yeah. He, like I said, he was targeted early, but then he wasn't. And I think he's a, without Kittle right now, I mean, he's a valuable weapon, and God, I'd love to see the two of them in there together. Just because I think they're both, you know, obviously natural route runners and pass catchers, good route runners and pass catchers.
Yeah, hopefully that happens before the end of the year. But how do you handle that challenge as a quarterback and offensive coordinator, Steve, when you do have guys you want to get involved? You mentioned Debo, and I think that it was mentioned on the broadcast, Greasy was saying that Samuel, it's too little too late. Like, you want him to have more touches earlier in the game and more often.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. He wasn't he really didn't. I'm not even sure that they threw the ball to him once in the first three quarters of the game. I mean, I can't think of one off the top of my head. I'm sure they did, but because boy, he is dangerous with the ball. He had a hard run where he was. I do remember one early. It might have been first half. He had a kind of a fly sweep, and he was going to lose ground and ended up making 3 or 4 yards off of a, you know, just him power run. I think you mentioned as an offensive coordinator, which technically the 49ers do not have. They have a run game coordinator and a pass game coordinator, and Kyle obviously calls the plays. I think that, I know we've talked about this, and having seen that stat of being basically 0-25, when trailing by 7 or more points, I think that when you have a coordinator, now Kyle can still call the plays, but when you have a coordinator, you have another, I guess, more consistent voice as opposed to a run game coordinator, pass game coordinator. And that consistent voice, I think, could be someone who is helping Kyle manage the game, which I've griped on a lot, as we know.
right.
But the 0-25 record proves my point that he's not managing the game when it's probably most critical, when you're trying to come back late in the game.
Well, is that because he's always thinking run first, and when you're trailing at half, like he is 0-25, he needs a quarterback and he needs to be throwing the ball, or is that, I'm just throwing that out there.
Right. I think that's part of it, but he needs someone who is focused on the management of the game and or someone who's focused on calling plays. He's got both of those responsibilities. Hence the reason why I'm always on him about that. I think he screws up not using timeouts.
So he's trying to do too much. Maybe he's just trying to do everything.
That's the bottom line point is it's too much. You know, you have to have, he needs someone, again, that is either helping him manage the game and allowing him to be focused on the offense, run or pass, and or he needs someone focused on calling the plays, and he's focused on managing the game.
Yeah.
Because it's just too hard. You get because you, and even I I yelled out last, talking on the television again, timeout. It was Buffalo got the ball back. I don't remember exact time of the late score. Okay, we go for the onside kick. I think the next play, for some reason in my head, there was wherever it was, there was like 6.5 minutes to go in the game. Okay, Buffalo runs the ball on first down, and they maybe get 1 or 2 yards. Maybe they just get back to the line of scrimmage. And I yelled out, timeout. And Tina looked at me like, what are you talking about? Like, you're in conserve. You know, this is the Marty Schottenheimer in me. You're in conserve time now. You can't get time back. You have to conserve it. So, I'll give Marty credit. This is where he was good. He managed the game. Like, I guarantee you he would call timeout right there. Even though the Niners only had 2 timeouts. He would have called timeout because now it's 2nd and 10. Make them think more.
Right.
And if they're going to run the ball again on 2nd down and you can hold them, you use the timeout again. Yeah, and hope they do something stupid on 3rd down, like throw the ball and it be incomplete and it stops the clock and now you got the ball back with 6 minutes.
And it's not an insurmountable lead in today's NFL to be down 34-17 or even when you were playing. I mean, that's 17 points. You can make that up.
Yeah. And I honestly think that I think at that point it was 34-24.
Nah, I mean, that probably would have been 34-17.
I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. But I do remember there was 6.5 minutes and I was like, time out. Like, you got to start conserving.
Yeah, and they didn't do that.
That's probably a little on the far end, the little on the early end, I guess. But you got to do it.
Got to do that. Here's the other thing, yeah. Steve. I mean, I just don't get the impression that when you're down by 17 with Mullins as the quarterback, that you have a great chance of coming back. I mean, I think, he almost threw interceptions a number of times where he's throwing some dangerous passes. He got stepped on by the center. He was lucky he didn't get picked off there. He just kind of threw it. And
yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's just some other throws that he makes that,
yeah.
He's not really gaining a lot of confidence from people watching him that he's going to be the guy that can take you back from down 17 late in a game.
No.
I just don't get that feeling.
I don't, and I don't believe that he is. I'm not knocking his. That's not his game. And that's where even last night I was like, he might want to put Beathard in here. Let him just see what he can do.
I wouldn't have minded that either. Yeah, it's a tough call.
He can swing it. From what I've seen so far this year of him, he's improved over 2 years ago because he didn't play at all last year. But that's not Nick's game, and you'd still need to run the ball some and hope for a couple, gouging plays. To be able to then have some play action to be able to call.
Exactly.
Some movement. It doesn't even have to be play action, just some movement to get Nick out of the pocket.
Here is how 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan assessed Nick Mullins' performance.
I thought he made some plays. You can see there at the end he made some plays. He can't make those turnovers that he had, can't have that false start that he had there in the inch yard line. But I thought he gave us a chance. With the way the whole team played all together, he did need to play better. Because I think we had to play perfect in a few areas. And by no means do I think he played perfect, but there's still stuff to improve on. But there were some good and bad things he did today.
Shanahan also talked about the Niners trying to contain Bills quarterback Josh Allen and his overall impression of the Monday night performance.
When we did blitz, he got away from it and made some big plays with some receivers running across the field. When we didn't, he just dinked and dunked it and got after us too. So, You know, our defense been, I think, carrying us all year and has played really good this year. They're up at big challenge today. We didn't play our best on D. That's why we had to on offense and special teams. And it was going to be one of those type games that was going to be a shootout. And we missed a few. I think we had a chance to do it on offense, make this game similar to how New Orleans was last year. It's kind of the game that I thought was being dictated. They held on to the ball for a while. I thought when we had that drop on third down, we lost a little momentum, didn't get a touch of much, and just got away from us.
Shanahan also looked ahead to the remainder of the schedule.
We got four more games that we can account for that we're in charge of, and we got to win all of them. You know, I mean, I felt going into this game that these, and I felt starting with the Rams, and I felt like this game was a playoff game for us. And then when you lose it, you just leave stuff up to other people. And I know with our team right now, the only thing that we can count on and control is making sure we win the rest of these. And that starts versus Washington next week. We got a short week. I just want the guys to get back to this hotel. Don't plan on seeing any of them tomorrow. Coaches are going to get together and we're going to get ready for Washington, have the guys rehab. You know, they still left a lot out there tonight, you know, physically and everything. So hopefully spend tomorrow right. And when they see us on Wednesday, we're coming ready to go versus Washington. I mean, it starts with the first game, but we know we got to win all of these. So we got to focus on Washington and get that done and then look to the next week.
49ers Extra continues in just a moment. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your 2-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information.
Hi, I'm Mark McElhone at Kane's Tire in Santa Fe. If you want the lowest prices in Marin and the best service, call us at 453-2942. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street, where our prices beat Costco's prices every time.
Meanwhile, the defense didn't play well either, Steve. I mean, you look, like we said, Allen was great. They didn't put much pressure on him, but there were mistakes that were made. I mean, let's start with Richard Sherman. He had a couple of ones there. I mean, he had an illegal contact penalty that really hurt because that negated the Fred Warner interception. So there were plays like that that were going on that, you know, there were some confusion too. There was some confusion. Yeah. I mean, Moore got confused when he was trying to cover McKenzie. He was late to cover him, and he's wide open for a touchdown.
Yeah, those was I think about they got mixed up on who they were taking there. You know, that obviously that can happen, but if you're trying to beat a good team, it can't happen. So yes, defense they didn't play their best game, but there were that interception I think was a. What the penalty was a turning point.
Well, there was also the one where Richard Sherman was standing there and Gabriel Davis just ran by and he was wide open for a touchdown.
Yeah.
And Sherman said there were a lot of moving parts there and there was some communication issues.
Yeah, I think he was trying to pick somebody's pocket. He looked to me like he was kind of guessing, and when they showed the replay, like his movement was I think I got one, and then the guy ran right by him.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. He looked like the way Sherman was guessing shorter route, and he ran right by him. And because maybe in Sherman's mind there was miscommunication, but in the replay, if you watch the safety, he went right to the middle. The pre-snap read was cover two. But I don't know who the safety was, but the left deep safety went right away to the middle, and the right deep safety went down and into zone coverage in the underneath. So that's where my take was that Sherman thought maybe he could pick Allen's pocket there.
Yeah, that might have been the case. That didn't work out. And I mean,
that didn't work well.
As was pointed out on the telecast, really nothing was working well because you try zone, you try some man-to-man. I mean, Verrett could not cover Diggs at all. I mean, Diggs just owned him. I mean, to me, it seemed like whatever Diggs wanted to do, he's going to get open, and then he ends up having a huge game with 10 catches, 92 yards. And Beasley, too, he was a go-to, 9 catches, 130 yards, and a touchdown. So, I mean, Allen had his targets, and you know, those guys were getting open.
And again, we weren't getting there with four guys, you know.
Right.
Which when we are with, for any defense, if you can get there with four guys, you're doing pretty well on defense. I think they were just better. Josh Allen was better last night than he said. That was probably his best game of his career.
One of his best. It definitely was.
Yeah, I mean, he played really well. We just couldn't get home with four, and when we tried with five, we were getting beat on the outside.
It seemed to Steve like those crossing routes were just wearing out the 49ers. Like they just couldn't cover them. I mean, those are good routes, I would think, for an offense. You know, if you're feeling that you're going to have your guys beat the defensive guys. On those angles, it just seemed like all day that Allen can throw those crossing routes and find those guys.
And you have that arm strength. You have that arm. I mean,
yeah.
Because there are a number of times he's got some Aaron Rodgers feet going there where the feet are all over the place, but the hips and shoulders are in alignment, and he can just he can sling that. Those crossing routes are not easy because if you're on the right hash and it's a, 15, 20 yard deep crossing route, you're talking a 30, 40 yard, throw.
And it's got to be accurate. It can get intercepted easier, right?
It has to be accurate. And he was very accurate with last night.
You know, the other thing, when this was a close game in the third quarter, there would have been a 3rd and 18, which is always hard to convert, but there was a roughing the passer on Kentavious Street. Another one of those where it didn't look like it was roughing the passer. I thought Allen deserved an Academy Award for acting. He just flopped.
Horrible call.
Exactly.
Horrible call. I mean, he almost grabbed him, like held him up. But he acted so bad. I mean, he acted so good, I guess, that Kentavious couldn't really hold him up, and he makes it look like he pushed him over. I thought that was a bad call.
Yeah, that was the second time that happened to Street, because he got called on the one with Drew Brees. That Brees, got hurt, but I didn't think it was roughing the passer either. So he's been unlucky in that regard.
I mean, unfortunately, if you touch them nowadays, you're going to get a penalty.
We'll have more with former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono right after this. Planning a trip to wine country? Do it the safe way and hire a driver from Wine Tasting Driver. They are a group of fun-loving, wine-loving people who are social, friendly, and looking to show you around wine country. Whether you're visiting Napa or Sonoma Valley, their guides are here to share knowledge, laughter, and conversations about wine or anything else in between. They're not the stuffy polyester suit-wearing limousine driver that detaches from the group. They are right in the middle of it with you during your car ride, between stops, and of course, available to help throughout the day. From running errands to picking up lunch, they'll make sure you have the best time possible. So give Wine Tasting Driver a call at 707-681-7050. That's 707-681-7050. Or go to winetastingdriver.com.
When it's time for new tires, you want the lowest prices and the best service, don't you? Well, Kane's Tire in Sandersville has you covered on both. Kane's has the lowest prices in Marin County, and they provide the warm and welcoming service that you can only receive from a family-run business. And this is a dependable family business that's been around for 61 years. Voted best of Marin for 35 years in a row, Kane's prices beat Costco's prices every time. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street in San Rafael. Give him a call at 415-453-2942. That's 415-453-2942 for Kane's Tire.
Now, I thought the Bills normally don't have much of a rushing game, but I mean, it seemed like their running backs, came up with clutch rushes when they needed to get first downs. And the 49ers didn't have, like I was saying before, they didn't have those big bursts. I mean, it was great to see Wilson and Mostert on the field together. I mean, we haven't seen those guys, and Deebo Samuel and Ayuk and all these guys are out there. It's great to see them, but they just didn't have the same explosive plays that maybe they had earlier in the year.
No, I mean, and that's making me think of, how about that exchange of plays in the on the Niners possession. I think it was actually the second possession.
Well, yeah, when they didn't score, and then the fumble by the Bills, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, basically it was, you know, 99 yards and like 17 plays if you know a continuation after the fumble. I mean, that was a crazy exchange. That one we couldn't get in sooner, which was, I thought, disappointing.
Disappointing.
Even when we did get the break of the fumble and then we got in, like, okay, this is, you know, we got a gift back because we didn't get in, you know, in the first 14 plays. And it was a tremendous drive.
But tremendous
again,
drive.
The big plays were runs.
You know, and that's where, honestly, Steve, when I watched that drive, I was like, this is what we were waiting for. Like, because you have Mostert and Wilson.
Mostert going hard. Both of them, Mostert and Wilson, going hard.
But Wilson, to me, on the one where he didn't get in on the fourth down and goal at the one-yard line, when he did not get in, he missed an opportunity. He went right into the line. And when you look at the replay, there's tons of room for him to just run into the end zone on the left side. But he just didn't do it. He just went right into the line.
I looked at it. I looked at it as a gift. Then when we didn't get in and got the ball back, like, okay, we got one there. You know, we got a gift. I don't think we played bad. We didn't make the breaks, you know, we hurt ourselves. I mean, we should have had the interception and we got the pass interference, that was a Keenan Turner, extremely athletic play by Fred Warner.
It's too bad it didn't count.
That's what reminded me of Keenan, you know, seeing him do that, you know, he was, you know, so long that he could, and such a great athlete that he could jump up and tip that ball, you know, almost tip it to himself.
Great comparison. Yeah, I love Keenan.
We didn't earn the breaks, I guess.
I totally agree. When I watched that game, when I finished watching it, I thought the Bills deserve to win this game. I mean, more than any game I've watched this year, they deserved it.
Yeah, and you've probably seen them a few times. So, Tom Moore would say you're not lucky; you've earned luck by making something happen. Have you seen them two or three times?
I've seen them a couple times now. Yeah, I was in Buffalo last week, so I, you know, was fresh off seeing them, and I had a feeling. I think I mentioned it last week. I had a feeling that Beasley and Diggs were going to be a problem for the Niners, and they end up being a problem.
They were.
Yeah,
yeah, they were. They were both good. Yeah, and when you're, you know, even in Josh Allen's post game interview, he's, you know, and they asked him, and he said, "Yeah, the ball was coming out of my hand good." And as a quarterback, when it is like that, you're not thinking about it all. That ball is just spinning out. You're going to have a good night. And he did.
All right, let's finish up by talking about the upcoming schedule, because the 49ers, if they do make the playoffs, they will deserve it. Let's put it that way, because, you know, they'd have to win all four. They'd have to really kind of hope they get Jimmy G and Kittle back at some point. But, I mean, if you look at it on paper, I know Washington just beat the Steelers, and, you know, and Alex Smith is playing against his former team and all that kind of stuff. So that doesn't make the game on Sunday against Washington easy. But if you look at it on paper, you got Washington, Dallas, two teams with losing records. Arizona, they're in the middle of a slide. Their defense is not playing well at all. And then Seattle, which, who knows, you know, that's a home game supposedly against the Seahawks. So, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility. Yeah, Glendale, their new home. But it's not out of the realm of possibility that the Niners win these four. I'm not saying they're going to do it,
no.
but it's not, you know, it's not totally impossible that they do it, that they
no.
do this.
No, not at all. I agree. I mean, obviously they're not far off because they beat the Rams last week and played really well. So, you know, just they needed to tighten it up a little bit last night and somebody. You know, somebody just played better last night. You know, that the Buffalo Bills played better last night, period. It's not that, like I said earlier, not like we played bad. We didn't. They played better and got a couple turnovers on us and made some plays that we didn't.
Yeah, and some of these teams the Niners are playing, they've got issues. I mean, look, the Cowboys.
They do. I mean, you said it. I mean, Arizona's sliding, and the Cowboys, they've been all over the map.
And the Seahawks just lost to the Giants.
And the Seahawks just lost to the G-Men, yeah.
At home.
I know. I mean, didn't foresee that one, I can tell you that much.
No, and now they play the Jets, the Seahawks, by the way. And the Jets, what an ending to that game. I mean, they end up firing Greg Williams, their defensive coordinator. He blitzes on that last play, and the Raiders win it.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be most warm and fuzzy of people, but I don't know. I'm not sure about that firing when Adam Gase is definitely not getting it done, so.
No.
You know, that's unfortunately was a scapegoat, I think.
And by the way, there's been a lot of talk about Robert Saleh, and they were talking about it last night, and him being a head coach, and it's looking like he's going to get quite a few interviews after the season's over.
Yeah, I would think so. And I think we talked about it a little bit last week that, you know, personality wise, he's probably a good fit somewhere, you know. Detroit, you know, you got to see who the GM is first, and you know that has to be obviously a good working relationship. We know how important that is here in San Francisco, and how well that's working with Lynch and Shanahan. So that needs to be a really good fit. I can't think of who the GM is and for the Jets right this moment. It's been a few people recently, so.
Yeah, I've kind of lost track myself.
Yeah. I would think Saleh would end up being a head coach somewhere.
All right, well, look forward to talking about next week's game. And Alex Smith, who's such a great guy, it's going to be good to see him going against the Niners. And even Ron Rivera, he's another guy who's, you know, coming back from cancer, and he's done a great job with that team.
Yeah, he has. Obviously, Alex's experience has helped them tremendously. Just, you know, getting them in the right place, putting them in the right situations, getting the ball to the right people. So he's a pro's pro, that's for sure.
Absolutely. All right, Steve, look forward to talking about it, and I'll see you on the golf course. We're going to do some golfing on Thursday. Fleming and Harding, we're doing a double dip. Yeah.
I look forward to seeing the Fleming 9.
At TPC Harding Park. Yeah, it sounds good. All right, Steve, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Yeah, next week we'll tell you what we thought of the Fleming course at Harding Park, which is now open to the public. And we'll talk, of course, about the 49ers-Redskins game. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.